What is up, everybody? I'm stoked to announce I've got a new sponsor of the pod, the Bitcoin 2022 conference, which if you weren't at Bitcoin 2021 last year, you definitely missed out. It was the biggest, most badass Bitcoin conference on the planet. There were 13,000 people there, and this year we're going for 35 to 50. The conference in Miami can easily hold 100, so let's pack this thing out. The cool thing that we're adding this year is the Sound Money Fest, which is, think Coachella meets Bitcoin culture. Right now, general admission tickets for the conference are $399, but they're only going to get more expensive as we get closer to the event. However, if you use my code, you'll get 10% off the cost of the ticket. So if you use affiliate code CAS10 or my affiliate link below in the description whenever you purchase your ticket, you'll get 10% off the cost of the ticket. Guys, it's going to be a badass time, and you're going to want to be there. Bitcoin's going to be at 250K by then, 500K. You're going to want to be partying with Bitcoiners. So get your ticket now, get your hotel now, and I'll see you there. Welcome to the 27th episode of Down the Rabbit Hole. This time I had the pleasure of sitting down with Camila Campton, and we discussed her upbringing in Colombia and how Bitcoin was seen as freedom to her and a sort of the extension of the American dream, and then how that American dream is changing. Camila is extremely positive, so we went into like how to find hope in the modern clown world. Then the conversation got into health and wellness, fighting for your freedom and your principles and what you believe in. And then ultimately, you know, raising a family and kids and the nuclear family and having Bitcoin babies. So this is a fun conversation. We had a lot of laughs. Hope you guys enjoy this one.
Hi, I'm Kaz Baiko, and you're listening to Down the Rabbit Hole, your favorite Bitcoin podcast.
But I don't want to go among mad people.
Oh, you can't help that. Most everyone's mad here.
What's up, Camila? Welcome to Down the Rabbit Hole.
What's up, Kaz? Thank you for having me. So stoked.
Thank you for joining me on the special occasion. It's International Podcasting Day, and here we are recording.
I feel so special. I'm not going to lie. This is awesome.
I didn't even see that until like 20 minutes ago, right before we started this.
That but means it's probably going to be one of the best episodes ever.
I hope so. So you are also the first woman to come on the podcast. How does that feel? Well, that's, I don't know. Awesome. Maybe there's somebody that secretly identifies as a woman that has been on the show before, but nobody that I know of.
Well, I still feel honored, even if I'm not the first one. It's still really cool. Really cool to be here with you.
So let's start the conversation around like your background. So there's probably a lot of people that know, but there's going to be a ton that don't. So like where you're from and sort of your orange pilling story.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was originally born in Colombia, so that's like my, what I like to call my motherland. But then I was an immigrant here to the States at the age of 6, which was really funny because at the time I had no idea what it even meant to be an immigrant or the implications that that journey had. I was just excited to see my mom because she was here. So it turns out that I was undocumented for like 10 years. And my dream was always to become an American resident and then an American citizen, because that was the ultimate goal of freedom, because I would be able to get my blue passport and just be able to travel everywhere. So I became a citizen back in 2017. That was when I was basically graduating from college. I studied human communications. If you ask me what human communications are, it's basically that, how to communicate with people. but I just gathered a really good knowledge, landed my first job, And on the side, I did some hustling. I am very into wellness and fitness and stuff, just being a happy, healthy individual. And then I met who's my husband now in college. And he's actually the one that orange pilled me. When we moved in together, I saw that he would wake up, listen to a Bitcoin podcast. We would go in the car. He's like, hey, is it cool if we listen to Tales from the Crypt? And I had no idea what any of these things were, but I was like, yeah, go ahead, just play it. He would play Stefan Levera. Yeah, super based. He would play Stefan Levera, Citizen Bitcoin. And to me, it just all seemed like a whole bunch of gibberish, to be honest. I feel like he was really ahead in his rabbit hole journey that I just didn't really understand anything, and I didn't really care to ask. I just thought this is probably for him. He's really, really smart, and eventually I'll learn. And then Thanksgiving, we went over his family's house, and he was trying to orange pill his parents, trying to get them to buy some Bitcoin. And during that whole process, I was just listening to him, and inside my head, I would say, you know, he's actually really knowledgeable, and the way he broke it down to his family made sense to me. So he kind of ended up orange pilling his parents, but he really orange pilled me. And so I read the Bitcoin Standard, and then that was it for me. I was completely hooked and just wanted to know everything I could about Bitcoin.
So that's interesting. Let's backtrack a little bit in something you said. So could you go into a little bit of the process of like what it was like getting your citizenship and see sort of looking at, you know, how America has changed and, you know, even just the last 2 years and, you know, you were referencing you came to America because of the ideal of freedom. And so how has that changed in like the last, you know, year and a half?
Yeah, it's honestly a little, I don't even know how to call it. Honestly, if it wasn't for Bitcoin, I feel like I would probably be one of the most depressed people in the world, because that journey took a lot of sacrifice, not only in the sense of, you know, coming to a country, not really knowing the language. It was a learning experience for me, and not really knowing how I ended up here. Like I said, I just wanted to be with my mom. But it was growing up and knowing that I was undocumented and that the immigration process wasn't going to be the easiest. I was going to have to wait a lot of time. So it was really hard in the sense, for example, going to school, being really young, and my mom telling me, hey, you know, we're going through this process, but you shouldn't really tell anyone, because you never know who may be a snitch or something, and then we're going to have immigration on us and we can get deported. So it was kind of living with a bit of a constant fear at a very young age, like trying to keep a really big secret, because if we were to get deported, that means that as a punishment, we wouldn't be able to enter back to the US for 10 years. If they allowed us, right? So I kind of began to understand the reason why my mom did this was because we would have a lot more opportunities here, education-wise, financially. So that sacrifice was not being able to go back to Colombia, see my family, grow up with my grandma, my cousins, etc. So it was a very high price to pay. And then once I got my interview for my residency, it was very intimidating because you kind of have to prove yourself to be a good person to whoever the immigration officer is in order for them to be like, yes, you're a good person, you can stay here, or for whatever reason, maybe even if they're in a bad mood, they can just be like, you know what, no, you're not going to stay here. So it was a lot of pressure growing up, thinking, hey, I have to get the best grades. I have to be the best in school. You know, I kind of just have to keep quiet and nod my head, just follow the rules, because that's what it takes to be a good citizen, I guess. And then once that was done, it was to have to reapply and then wait more years in order to be able to get my citizenship. So that was even a lot more fun because you have to learn these 100 questions that you're going to get tested on. You have to answer 7 out of the 10 they ask you correct. And in my head, it was really funny because I kept thinking to myself as I was learning all the answers to these questions, like, how many Americans actually know these things? You know, how many people would actually be able to pass this test? But during the process, I was really proud of myself because I could finally see the finish line. And from 2017 till Thanksgiving of last year, I thought, you know, I have freedom. I absolutely have it. I'm working towards that American dream that my mom and I have been fighting for a really long time. But then once I learned about Bitcoin, I just felt like it was a complete lie in a sense. That American dream was starting to become a lot more far away. So even the 17 years that we fought for this freedom, it was starting to slowly fade away from us again. And we hadn't even realized. So that was a really huge wake up call.
Yeah, that's such a good point because I've been wrestling with this idea lately that like Bitcoin really restores the idea of the American dream. And so before we started the podcast, you mentioned that like, what's been on your mind lately is, people, how difficult it is to be a millennial right now, because we're dealing with the mess of other generations that keep, kicking the can down the road. But at the same time, we can look at that and it does seem like a lot of people our age are looking at this problem and they're taking the victim mentality and they're like, oh yeah, I see this. This is a problem. It's difficult for us to buy a house or whatever the argument is. And they opt into this victim mentality where, we're looking at it as like, no, we can take a hold of our future and, distill the principles that America was founded on through Bitcoin.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's such a contrast to how I grew up and what I thought, like I said, I thought being a good citizen was just nodding your head, following the rules, kind of going with the flow. But then once I realized that the current system that we're living in is stealing away from me in a very big way, to the point where, if I want to start a family, how long is it actually going to take me to the point where I'm comfortable enough to start a family to where I don't have to leave my kids in a daycare? Because that's like another huge problem that we're facing right now. The nuclear family is being completely attacked today. And so I kind of want to be away from that. I want to be able to raise my kids at home. But in the society that we live in today, how the dollar is just kind of crashing and how they're stealing from us. I had a savings account and I thought I was completely ahead of the game. I was like, a lot of people my age, they're probably not saving. They're probably out in debt, partying, blah, blah, blah. I'm good. But then when I realized that I wasn't good, that the dollar sucks, that purchasing power is just going away, I was completely in shock. And in my head, I had to kind of reframe my thought process of, okay, what does it actually mean to be free? It doesn't mean to have a blue passport, a blue American passport. It means more than that. It means having the freedom to make my own choices, what I think is going to be good for myself, my husband, hopefully my future family, and how do I protect them from everything that's going on today? So if it wasn't for Bitcoin, I honestly feel like I would be stuck in that question, because what are people supposed to do if they don't have this other alternative? There is no other alternative. So it's scary to think about, but at the same time, I'm super grateful that I found Bitcoin and I see it as a life raft. And I feel like that's our mission now, to kind of get, especially millennials that probably feel as stuck as I did, how do we resolve this? How do we get away from this and actually build a better future?
Yeah. So there's a lot of things that you touched on that I want to go into. But one thing in particular that I thought you said was interesting was just the idea of nodding your head and, pushing the paper and shaking the hands and smiling, and that makes you a good person. Like, compliance does not make you a good person when you're complying mm-hmm. with things that take away the freedom of other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And to me, it just makes me question a lot of things in my life, because before this, I feel like I didn't have a voice, or I felt like, you know, whatever I thought didn't matter, that I couldn't really make a difference. And that's why Bitcoin kind of gave me that voice to kind of speak out, even if it's on Twitter, to have these very important conversations. I had Twitter. I made a Twitter in like 2013, but never really used it because I felt like, who's going to want to listen to me? And what do
or
I
you
have
didn't even
to
know what to say, right?
Yeah,
so many people are like, oh, I made a sandwich and cut it into triangles today, and they launch a tweet. And it's like, okay,
exactly.
I don't want to read that.
Exactly. It's like you only get one like, and it's from like your best friend, and then they're not your friend anymore, so no one else is liking your post. Yeah. But when I saw the community that is in Bitcoin and how people were speaking their truth, and especially this year when I feel like more people started speaking out with everything that's going on with vaccines and health and like all these other issues that are not just about money, it felt really refreshing because it kind of gave me that reassurance that, you know what, it is okay to speak out your truth, because you're not the only one crazy. There's a whole bunch of other crazies. And I say crazies in like the sense that to the world, to the normies, we probably are the craziest people in the world. But when you see that there's a community and that there's people that are willing to fight against everything that's going on today, it's really, really refreshing.
It is. This is the whole idea of like the remnant. It's like we're actually fighting for the other people, even though they think that we're fighting against them.
Yeah.
Because we're standing up for, you know, the freedoms of our country and the principles that we were founded on. And it's so interesting. Like this is a very common trait that I see among Bitcoiners in particular, is that before they found Bitcoin, they kind of felt like a loner, and or maybe not a loner. But you know, you could be still extremely social and you have a wide group of friends, but still be a loner because you feel like you're just disconnected from everything for whatever reason, right? It's like, I love to compare things to the Matrix, and like, it's the idea, like, you know, when Morpheus is saying like, you've seen the Matrix, right, Camilla?
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's because of Bitcoin that I watched The Matrix.
Okay. I thought I had seen a tweet recently that you had like just recently watched it. But
yeah,
he references and he's like, you don't know what it is. You can't describe it. You just know that there's something wrong, right? And I had felt that way in my entire life. And it sounds like, you know, you kind of feel that way too. And then you find Bitcoin and you're like, oh, okay, there's, you know, there actually is something here. Like, it's almost like a revolution.
Absolutely. And you know, it's funny because with the terms high time preference and low time preference, I never knew those terms existed until I actually read the Bitcoin Standard. That's when a lot of things actually started to click in my mind, and probably why I felt that I didn't really have like a huge group of friends or anything. I feel like the person I was most connected to in my life that understood me was my mom. Like, I didn't care about having groups of friends and stuff because whatever they would say is like, oh, that kind of doesn't click with me. In terms of low time preference for me, I've always thought to myself, like, you know, what if you happen to live to be 100 years old? Are you preparing yourself for that? Because a lot of people are just thinking about now. They're not thinking in terms of the future. And that kind of didn't click with a lot of people, especially in our age. They think that their 20s is just to like party it, live it up, whatever, you only live once, which is like one of the cringiest things that came out of the millennials. But once I started looking into Bitcoin, it's like, yes, this is what I've been trying to do my whole life, kind of do have this low time preference type of lifestyle. And it's amazing that I was able to kind of conceptualize it and understand what I was doing with my life and how Bitcoin plays a perfect part in that type of mindset. So I've honestly felt like I found my people, and it really does feel good to finally feel like you belong somewhere and that you're fighting for something that you believe in. It definitely makes this life, specifically in the world that we live in today, a lot better. It gives me a lot of hope.
Definitely. So funny that the you only live once people are the ones that are terrified of fucking oxygen right now.
It's so true.
Right? Like, it makes absolutely no sense to me. So would you say that you were like naturally low time preference before you found Bitcoin?
Yeah.
How much has that changed since you found Bitcoin?
I think it hasn't really changed a lot, maybe in terms of how I spend my money. I definitely think a little bit more. It's like, do I need this or can I stack some sats? Like, how much do I actually need this or can I treat myself in the future? So I think it just reinforced my idea a little more. And it makes me happy that I've chosen kind of this lifestyle at a very young age. Personal development came into my life when I was 17 years old, and that completely changed my life when it was starting to like read, as cringy as it sounds, like self-help books and stuff. It was something that a lot of people my age weren't doing. So I was kind of able to develop that mental muscle in training myself to think of what really matters and what's really going to happen in the future. So then when it came to Bitcoin, I know a lot of people say, oh, you know, hodling is so hard, blah, blah, blah. And in my head, it's like, no, it's not. It's actually very easy if you're very clear on why you're stacking Satoshis. And, you know, the reasons go beyond just number go up. The reasons are, you know, what do I want to build in the future? What kind of family do I have in the future? Do I want to have time in the future? Like, have that freedom. That's the freedom that I'm looking for right now, is just being able to have time with my family and not worry about money. That would be like the ultimate freedom for me. So to the people that think that hodling is hard, I would just say, just take a step back and think why you think that way. And it's just good to develop that mental muscle to really think about why you're doing things, what your mission is. And it definitely gets a lot easier.
That's so funny. I recorded a podcast last week with Cretius, and we had, you know, this was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We were like recording halfway through, you know, an hour podcast, and he mentions the Bitcoin price and he's like, yeah, we had a 12% dip today. And I was like, oh, I haven't even looked. I had no idea. I was like going into a podcast with Cretius and the price was like below 40K and I hadn't even looked at it yet.
That's amazing.
But yeah, it's the bliss, right? Like, this is what we're talking about. It's like, I don't understand I guess it, you know, it can be a roller coaster, like the little meme guy. But it's truly pretty easy. Like, and, you know, looking at the people that are freaking out about the stock market, like, I actually had to go search because I was curious, like, on Twitter, what people were saying. And they were just, you know, it was like financial meltdowns. And I was like, oh. You know, that must suck. Like, the Bitcoin price is pretty much unchanged, and I don't own any of those assets, so it doesn't matter to me.
Exactly.
It's like literally a completely different world.
It is. And in this world, you can have complete zen, in a sense, without you achieving what you want to achieve, if that makes sense. Like, there's nothing better for me than having mental peace. And I have a lot of mental peace just knowing that I'm able to stack a little bit each day. That gives me like a breath of fresh air, and probably why I'm one of the happiest people you'll ever meet. It's just like, there's so many reasons, although the world sucks right now, there's so many reasons to be happy, especially if you're in the Bitcoin space. Like, we're absolutely blessed. Absolutely blessed.
Well, right. It would only be right to be happy in a clown world, right?
Exactly. And it's sad. It's sad to think about the people that live in the clown world, because what you see on social media is that, oh, they're like the happiest people in the world, blah, blah, blah. They're doing the they're doing their best, they're living their best life. And once you get into the Bitcoin world, you realize, you know what? That's all a lie. Like, I don't know who you're trying to, why you're trying to pretend like it's all okay when it's not. When you live in a fiat world, it's just not. It's not that way.
The fiat rat race, right? This idea that, you know, getting this marginal increase in salary or changing your job, you know, this little upwards lateral movement, right? That's going to make you happy, right? And you just keep chasing that and keep chasing that and keep chasing that. And then finally, maybe if you're really successful and driven and, you know, highly indoctrinated, then maybe you become like, fuck you money in the fiat system, right? But then nobody ever says fuck you. I say this all the time, like this dream, right, of achieving fuck you money in the way of like, you're actually financially free, but then you can never have any freedom because you're so attached to your job that you can't ever experience life, see your family, raise your kids. Like I was like working in consulting before, you know, I found Bitcoin, and so many people were like, you know, that were high up in the firm were, they had completely missed their kid's life. And I'm like,
it's so sad.
What is the point of you working? Like, what are you working for?
Yeah.
At some point, work becomes an escape for those people. I feel like they actually hate their lives so much that they like,
it becomes an addiction.
Right? They thrust themselves into work that they don't even find any meaning in just to escape the like drudgery of their other existence. Like, it's so sad to me. Truly so sad.
And you know what's crazy? When I remember when I was younger, I don't know who asked me this question, but they said, you know, you have to find someone that inspires you, that you look up to. And around my life, I would ask myself that, like, okay, who inspires me? Who do I want to be like? And honestly, Kaz, I couldn't think of anyone, because the women, let's say, the women that were in quotation successful in life, that were the boss babes, blah blah blah. It's like, yes, you're really successful in your career, but you don't have a family. That to me was like, nope, that's not inspirational to me. And then when looking for who I wanted to start my life with, it was the same thing. Like, you know, it's great that you're really career driven, but what's the end goal for you? You know, if it's just going to be money, that's not it for me. I don't want to be with a husband that's just thinking about money and it's not going to be able to raise a family with me. So it sucked. It sucked to not be able to look up to anyone in this world, because let's be honest, in the clown world, who really is to admire? Seriously.
That's a good point. It's so true, right? It's like you touched on the nuclear family earlier. Like that is being like attacked. It's being attacked, mm-hmm. like from social media, from cultural changes, from porn, from mm-hmm. all these different angles that they like, they do not want you to like have this like monogamous relationship and raise a family and like have kids. It's so odd to me.
It is. We're being attacked, especially with the whole feminist movement. And it was so funny. There was like a tweet about conspiracy theories, and it's like, what's a conspiracy theory that you think about? And someone had mentioned, you know, the whole feminist movement was probably created by the government so that both men and women would go into the workforce so they could pay more taxes. It's like,
ooh,
huh.
That's a good one.
That's interesting.
That's an interesting conspiracy theory right there. That's some CIA shit.
It is.
I totally believe that. Because they look at us like we're tax cattle. Like that's literally it.
Exactly. Yeah. We're not human beings that deserve respect or anything. We're just little mules that are making more money so that they can feed off of it. They're delicious. And it's just sad that a lot of people don't see that this is happening. So we must protect at all costs the women that want to become moms and are looking to raise a family. the men that are looking for this woman to raise a family, this is where it all begins, at home. So it's really good to see also Bitcoiners out there thinking like this, because in reality, we're probably going to be the ones to raise the future generations, especially if people nowadays are not thinking about having kids.
Right. So we started this, for anybody that wants a little background, I was talking to Camilla before the podcast, and I was like, we've got to be hopeful, because I'm always like so bleak in all of my podcasts, and Camilla's just extremely positive. And here I am still being like very bleak. But like, the thing that gives me hope in this sense is like, all of the people that we don't want to have kids are the ones that are believing the propaganda why you shouldn't have a nuclear family. So what gives me hope is like, Bitcoiners are going to raise all the future generations.
Exactly. Raise the future generations in sound money. How amazing is that? That's truly
sound
amazing.
Money, sound family.
Hey. Exactly.
Yeah. Honestly, so... Oh, this is interesting. I've never thought about this before. Do you think there's a connection between like divorce rates and fiat? Like, I wonder if we actually move to a Bitcoin standard, if there would be more people that stayed in relationships longer.
That's,
I don't know if
really
you even have an answer to that, but that's an idea I just had.
Yeah, I would say yes. I would hope yes. Man, we can jump into this topic because I think about this a lot too, especially since before getting married, I went into like marriage preparation classes, which is actually really interesting. But I would hope so.
Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah. So
like, did you do that before you met your husband, or I'm assuming it was with your husband?
Yeah, it was.
Or your fiance at the time.
Yeah, it was with him at the time. We actually, for our wedding, we had to go through this marriage preparation class. That was one of the requirements. I actually signed us up for two of them without him knowing. I just kind of like dragged him along because, you know, the more tools we have in our toolbox, the easier it will be whenever there's going to be a problem later on, because marriage is not just like, oh, this is the absolute best. I'm pretty sure there's going to be some hard times. That's just how life works. But if you have a toolbox and you're ready for those moments, you know how to act during those moments or how to take care of it, I feel like fixing things can be easier. So yeah, we went through this preparation class and talked on a lot of different topics, talking about money, how we manage money, communication, how we saw ourselves raising our family, and just having really tough discussions about like any addictions or anything, just anything that can make our marriage really hard later on if we don't talk about them before saying I do, you know, before committing. So it's really important to have these types of conversations and really understand why you are getting married. I feel like nowadays marriage is just, you know, engagement, cute ring, and then like say I do and that's it. And I don't know how I can tie this into fiat, but it's just the people that do it this way without thinking about it, it's very high time preference. It goes back to that whole subject. You're not low time preference. You're not thinking about the long run. And so I absolutely loved it because we did talk on very interesting topics. In terms of money, I think we were good because we're both Bitcoiners, right? So in our head, it's like, you know, this is going to be our savings for the long term. And we're going to, you know, anything that we don't spend during the month, we're going to put aside so that we can buy some Bitcoin. So it was cool that we were on the same headspace in terms of that. And just, you know, because people go in not having a savings plan, not thinking about the future. So of course, imagine going into a marriage, not having a savings plan. And then it's like both men and wife, it's like, you know what, we're going to have to work. We're going to have to get part-time jobs, et cetera. And, you know, it's like you said, you start to get into this rat race and you kind of forget about your partner. So I think preparation is really important before taking that step, because if you just think about money, they say if there's no money, love goes through the window. Love goes out the window. That's like a Spanish saying. I guess I just translated.
I've never heard that before.
You've never heard that?
No.
Yeah.
No, it makes complete sense though. Like, absolutely. Yeah. So many marriage problems like stem from financial problems.
Yeah. Most of them, more than 50% are money problems. I think that's the right statistic. So if you don't have that figured out before saying I do, you're pretty much setting yourself up for failure. Now, I'm not saying that you have to have lots of money in order to get married. Obviously, when you get married, it's kind of like you're a team, you're building yourself up. But if you don't have a blueprint for that or a plan, it can go chaotic very quickly. So I do think that Bitcoin will help, because you're already setting up that blueprint for the future. And all you have to focus about is just building each other up, trying to see how you can make more money to just save more money in the future. But without a plan, you just feel lost and it can be very overwhelming. And that's when fights start as well. Yeah, you just learned something new, Kaz. Whenever there's money problems, love goes out the window.
Love goes out the window.
Exactly. You're more prone to getting a divorce.
So I have to throw in my little philosophical like libs here, because that's like my podcast. But it's so interesting how, you know, you said that you're saving Bitcoin and you're looking at it like you can spend more time in the future with your kids, potentially. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's so interesting that, you know, we talk about time theft and we talk about Bitcoin as money and energy. And whenever you essentially have like this, you know, money is energy and it is time. So it's just an expression of that. Mm-hmm. So whenever your money is being debased, your time is being stolen from you. This is time theft. And so you're saying that, you know, you're stacking Bitcoin almost to buy back your own time to save it in the future with your family. I don't know. I just thought that was a cool little connection there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what I want, because time is way more valuable than Bitcoin.
It is. It's the most scarce resource.
Exactly. And going back to the very cringe, you only live once, you know, it's true. And if you don't know how to live your life properly, then it's just going to go away. Devin, it's really funny. My husband, he got this calendar. I don't know if you've seen these calendars before, but it's basically broken down in like these tiny little squares. And it shows you how much time you have left based on if you were to live for 90 years. So every single week that goes by, you kind of like fill in these squares and it gives you a perspective. Like, holy crap, how much time do I actually have left?
Is this online somewhere?
Yeah, I'll send you the link.
Send me the link. I'd love to look at it, and I'll include it in the description as well, because a visual representation of time that way would really put things into perspective for, like, you know, you really do only live once. Not that you should be wasting your time. It's that you should be, like, maximizing your time.
Exactly. And when I saw him get that in the mail and I looked at it in my head, it kind of freaked me out, because it was a wake-up call. Hey, you have limited time here. You don't even know if you're going to get to 90. You want to accomplish so much. There's so much to do still. Are you actually maximizing all of the time that you have? So in my head, time is the most scarce asset I have. And now I have this tool, like you said, where I can buy this time back. And as long as I'm taking care of myself physically, mentally, and stuff, I'm not afraid of aging. I feel like if I take care of myself, I'm going to still be able to accomplish a lot more as I get older. But it's being able to have the resources available to me and to be able to accomplish, like I said, if I wanted to spend time with my kids and stuff and raise them, that's available there for me. that I'm not sacrificing my time or having to go to another job so another person can raise them. I feel like that would be a complete nightmare for me. So Bitcoin is the only way that I see myself being able to do that, to have the time to do what I want, raise baby Bitcoiners, hopefully. That's like the ultimate dream.
It is. So let's shift gears here a little bit, because this is something we have in common that we're both very passionate about, you know, health and wellness, and, you know, physical fitness and all of these things. So has that, I'm sure you were into that, you know, way before Bitcoin, but how has that shifted since you've been in Bitcoin?
It just has made me a lot more aware of, you know what, there is something worth fighting for. You better get ready for it, even if that means physically.
That is a great way to word it.
Yeah. In my head, I kind of just think, you know, you're preparing yourself for battle. And that may also have to be physical. You just never know. And survival of the fittest is just something that I have in my head. And not only in terms of like physical, but like spiritually, mentally, you just have to be fit in all these different aspects of life. And fitness is obviously going to play a huge part in that, because it's just going to make you happier and more confident as a person. And you only have one body as well, so you better not mistreat it. So it just gave me more of a reason, like, okay, there's this Bitcoin thing. The world is changing right now. Definitely feeling the fourth turning vibes. They're very high. You just want to be ready for anything. For absolutely anything. And being healthy is just a huge part of that.
That's so funny, because literally when I go to the gym, I think the same thing sometimes. I'm like, yes, I'm going here. I'm doing a workout. I'm going to feel better. I'm going to be in a mentally better mood. I'm going to be more positive. I'm going to have mental clarity. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look better. All of these things. But then at the same time I'm walking in there, I'm like, I'm preparing for fucking battle.
Yes. Like, and it sounds like we're exaggerating, but it's true. We're in a battle every single day. Absolutely every freaking single day, whether it's with ourselves, because not every day is going to be the best day. It's like a mental battle, but it's also a physical battle, because, you know, with fitness, like you said, it comes all of these benefits with the mental clarity and stuff. And it's going to help you try to figure out, like, okay, how am I going to orange pill more people? That's like a constant question you have every day. But if you're not feeling good, if you're not able to help yourself first, how are you going to help other people? That's what it comes down to. So you have to be the best version of yourself if you really take that mission seriously and get ready to be in the battlefield fighting all these fiat jerks and people that just want to take us down.
Jerks. You're so poised, Camilla. I would be like, these fucking ass, like, just like fucking assholes, like just ripping into them, and you're like, these jerks tax our unrealized capital gains like we're slaves.
Yeah, you're right. They are assholes. They totally are.
I'm going to get you to say the F word before the podcast.
Oh my gosh.
All right, then you better make me mad. I had it written down. Is that possible? I don't even know if I've ever seen you mad. We've worked together for like, what, 8 months now?
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen you mad.
I feel like it really is hard to make me mad. I get frustrated, that's for sure. But to a point where I get really mad, I don't know. I honestly haven't seen it either.
Oh, I feel it. And you know, you were referring to, you know, we're under attack. Like, it's not just, I feel like it will soon be physical, but it's like a mental and a spiritual battle right now. Mm-hmm. Like, they want to break your confidence. They want to break your faith in humanity. They want you to just like, basically submit and comply and, yep, you know, relinquish any hope you have. And so honestly, the most noble thing you can do is to just be a fucking badass and just be hopeful and positive.
Exactly.
And I feel like you embody that.
Oh, thanks. You know, it's if they try to take us down, if anything, I just feel sorry for them because in my head, they've already lost. They've already lost that battle. We have already won. We're just seeing it play out in real time. And we're going to have more people wake up to this battle and they're going to join us. And, you know, these assholes, what are they going to do? They're not going to be able to do anything. They can't control Bitcoin. That's the beauty of it. So in my head, I just feel sorry for these assholes because they're not going to make it.
All right, we're increasing the number of assholes, so we're getting you closer. So let's take the conversation to back to your family in Colombia. So, like, how has it been orange pilling them, and like since they kind of see everything that we've talked about, and they've experienced life in the way that they have, is Bitcoin something that is like obvious to them, or is it still, you know, difficult for them to wrap their minds around it?
It's super interesting because my family here, my mom, she's orange pilled. And I think it was easy for her to understand what Bitcoin could do for us, for our family here, because she's the one that went through that whole journey with me of being undocumented and then getting our residency and then being a citizen. And then her starting to feel the pressures of everything that's going on right now, and her also feeling like her freedoms are being taken away. So it was kind of easy to orange pill her and my dad. Now, with the family in Colombia, I thought it was going to be very easy to orange pill them because they live over there. And the Colombian peso is just also being completely debased. It's kind of scary to think about. But I was in Colombia this past summer talking to my family about Bitcoin and stuff, but in their heads, they still have a lot of hope for the US dollar or the Canadian dollar. And so instead of them thinking like, hey, I can actually stay here in Colombia and buy some Bitcoin and kind of, you know, build my wealth this way, what they're thinking about is seeing how they can move to Canada or Australia out of all places to see if they can start earning better money and then bringing it back to Colombia. And when I'm having...
Holy shit.
Yeah. And when I'm having...
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Trust me.
Canada
that one,
and Australia, like the Canada two liberal Australia. Democracies that have fallen as quickly as possible into authoritarianism. Like modeled after techno-fascist China. Like
yeah.
That's where they would like to move.
Well, that's...
Rather than just staying in Colombia, which like the state of, like the government yeah. of Colombia, isn't like massive. So that's surprising to me that they would like to leave something with like less of a state like apparatus and move to something that's more authoritarian.
Which is why it was also super surprising to me because in my head, I said, there's a huge disconnect here, a huge disconnect, and they're not seeing something that I'm seeing. So when I heard Canada and Australia and everything was playing out, was starting to play out with how crazy it was over there, I try to tell them, like, you guys think that those places are the promised land, and they're not. You know, you're going to go somewhere where you're definitely not going to have any of the freedoms that you have here. And it's really sad because people in Colombia, a lot of people, they think that they need to get out of Colombia in order to have opportunities. And hey, that's what my mom thought too, and that's why we ended up moving. But we live in a world where Bitcoin exists now. And I just think that, you know, if you're in Colombia right now and you're able to save just a little bit of sats, like you don't need to have a lot of money and like buy a whole Bitcoin. If you're just saving in sats, you're going to be so ahead, even more ahead of people here in America that don't have any Bitcoin.
Oh, by far. Like yeah. So far ahead.
And so it's really sad. My uncle, he wanted to go to Canada. He did all of the paperwork. And he got denied. He can't go. And same thing happened with my cousin that wanted to go to Australia. Like, he spent all this money and this paperwork to see if he could get a work visa and stuff, and he was denied. So it's just crazy. It's crazy. And it's even crazier that after I've told them about Bitcoin, they are not really paying attention to that. So
that's funny, because I'm now looking at Colombia, like moving to Colombia, and all my Bitcoin friends are pressuring me to move to Colombia, and the Colombians are trying to move out of there. So it's a funny relationship.
It is. And a lot of Latin American people see it that way too. They see people from England moving to Colombia, people from the States moving to Colombia. And what they say is, it's really ironic. We're trying to get out of here and they're just coming here. But that's my hope, though, that they realize that because of Bitcoin, they don't have to leave. They don't have to be away from their families, because it sucks. It really sucks to not be able to be with the people that you absolutely love and miss out on a lot of things. You know, if you just see that you have the opportunity to start building within your community, that you're going to be able to save sound money, it can be a huge difference. So I just hope one day that they're able to see it through that lens, that it's probably not worth leaving when you still have some sort of freedom to a place that has like no freedom now just because of money. It's really sad.
I mean, we have actual energy money now that they can stack in Colombia without even leaving their village or their town or wherever they're at. Like, that is so sad that they want to move to these places that have absolutely no freedom just to chase money that is literally being like stolen from you in real time and like melting away. Like, that's so sad.
Yeah, they see the dollar as, they put the dollar in like this pedestal because the dollar is everything and nothing can beat the dollar.
But they're, fuck the dollar.
Exactly. It's like,
say
no.
It. Say fuck the dollar.
Fuck the dollar.
Yes, there we go.
There you go, Kaz. But yeah, it's just an empty promise, and they still think the American dream is there, but it's not. That's the sad part, and we're starting to see the world shift to that reality. The American dream is just an illusion. What exists right now is the Bitcoin standard dream. That's like the ultimate dream right there. And if you're just able to buy a little bit of sats, you're already part of that story. That's what people need to realize.
It's a powerful statement right there, Camilla.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on, let's shift gears again. So how excited are you about the Lightning integrating Strike and being able to receive, Twitter integrating Strike, being able to receive Lightning tips over Twitter?
I love that. I absolutely love it. I would love it even more if it was made international, because then these creators, especially Bitcoin creators that are not here in America, can really, really benefit from this. I'm still waiting for mine, even though the only reason why I want it is because my husband has been waiting to tip me ever since the feature came out, and he hasn't been able to. But I think it's a great step forward, and to kind of show people like, hey, Bitcoin, it's not this dinosaur technology. It is very much alive and it is working right now. So I feel like it's going to be really awesome to just orange pill other normies, because you can kind of guide them like, hey, just, you know, download this wallet and I'll send you a little bit of Bitcoin. And it can be a really great conversation starter, that it's like, you know, I love you so much that I'm not going to tip you in US dollars because that's shitty money. I'm actually going to send you the best money in the world. And I'm just super bullish to see what comes out of it, to see more adoption. And I honestly can't wait to just have the option, at least, to have a tipping feature in my profile. But yeah, I'm super bullish on Lightning. I got invited to talk in adopting Bitcoin which is going to be in El Salvador in November. So even more bullish on that, just to see how the community is down there and how Bitcoin and Lightning has, you know, changed that community, and to see what other things I can gather and what other things I can talk about in the podcast that I do in Spanish. So I'm just super blessed that we're living through this lifetime, to be honest. Being a millennial sucks, but if you're in Bitcoin, it's like the best thing ever. And yeah, I'll definitely tip you, Kaz, once you get it. Do you have it yet?
I'm not going to get it right now, at least.
Okay.
I have a little like some moral objections to it, even though like I'm doxxed, obviously.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
So this is my brain is constantly thinking adversarially. So I agree with absolutely everything you just said. Like, big fan of Strike and Jack and the entire team there. Like, fucking incredible to integrate Lightning into Twitter. The thing that I don't like about it is that you have to KYC your Twitter account. And so I feel like this could be like a little slippery slope that, you know, oh yes, now you have to use a name, or like you have to have like your government ID'd name to use Twitter. Or yeah. So like essentially by connecting your Strike account, you are doing that. Mm-hmm. It's not just like a random email and a name. It's like, even though it is my name, no one knows that. A lot of people ask me, is like, Kaz, your NIM? And I'm like, yeah, it is, because Kaz isn't my full name. So I guess it is my NIM.
That makes sense. I think you're absolutely right in terms of that. But what's cool about the people that want to stay, you know, anonymous and don't want to give their true identity through Twitter, it's like, dude, just send me a Bitcoin address and I'll send you Bitcoin, right? Like, the tipping feature is not really for that audience. I feel like the tipping feature is more for the people in the normie world that have already doxxed themselves. And it's just like a very easy conversation starter. So,
I mean, I see the point you're making. I feel like it's also like a kind of very like clickish thing, right? Like, you want to send sats to like your favorite content creator. Okay, like my DMs are open. Like, if you like my podcast, I will send you an invoice and you can send me sats. You don't need to send it through Twitter like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had people do that. So I feel like, I don't know, it could lead. I put out a tweet about this that got heavily misconstrued.
Oh, no.
Didn't mean for it to. But I said, like, you know, I'm not super excited about, like, this Bitcoin tipping through Twitter to turn into, like, you know, girls, hot girls just getting a bunch of money for, literally posting a selfie. And got a little backlash about it. It's okay. I'll wear it. I know what I'm saying, though. I'm not saying, you know.
Well,
but
yeah, you know, here's the thing, though. It's like, if you're parting ways with your very precious Satoshis just because a girl posted a cute photo on the internet, you don't deserve those sats.
That's how I feel.
You don't value those sats enough. Like, you know.
The survival of the fittest, and the simps are not fit.
Exactly. There you go. You tied the whole podcast together. yeah, I mean, you don't deserve them, and you have to think about, you know, you rather spend these Satoshis on girls on the internet while you simp, or do you rather save them for your future wife and future family? So
I was really disappointed when I tried to buy the domain OnlySats. It was already taken.
Dang.
But I feel like that's what Twitter's coming to now. Like, they just destroyed OnlyFans because OnlyFans is now blocking anything like somewhat sexual, and Twitter is just like a plethora of like nude content. And now you can literally tip people in timeless energy money through Twitter. So I don't know.
I find that super. Yeah, I'm kind of annoyed by it also, because it's like, so you won't censor this type of useless content, but you'll censor stuff about natural immunity et cetera. Like things exactly. that would actually help people. Yeah, I mean, it's always going to be a constant battle. Like I said, there's going to be different battles and you just have to be ready to fight on the right side and just keep speaking your truth, even if people don't like it. If you got backlash for that, then it's like those people should really take a step back and probably think why they got angry at that tweet. It's a very, I mean, that the tweet makes sense. And like I said, if you're parting from your sads because of a cute picture, then you really need to do some self-reflection. You didn't deserve them.
It's so funny that people end up with the amount of Bitcoin that they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
I find that it's like this interesting phenomenon in Bitcoin. Like everyone's like, oh, I should have found it earlier. I should have bought it earlier or whatever. It's like, no, you found it. And then you just like straight up just didn't really believe in it enough to actually make it true.
Exactly. Like,
you know, putting 1% of your portfolio in Bitcoin and saying you're a Bitcoiner.
You know what's the beauty of it though, Kaz? That as new Bitcoiners start to come in, there are going to be Bitcoiners that value those sats, and there are going to be like the truest of Bitcoiners. So even if people don't appreciate them, there will come someone that's actually going to appreciate them and make their life better. So completely agree with that statement.
Sorry, I had this airplane going over me that was really loud. I don't know if you could hear or not.
No.
But I feel like we're getting close to the end. So is there anything you'd like to wrap with, Camilla?
Yeah, I just want to say, honestly, thank you so much for having me. I love having these conversations and it's very rare for me to have like a one-on-one conversation. Well, with my husband, I do, but it's cool to have a one-on-one conversation with someone else that's not my husband. And yeah, I'm just super bullish. I'm super blessed that, like I said, I'm not the only crazy in this world and that I found my tribe and that I feel like I have something worth fighting for. That's not only going to be good for me and my husband and my hopefully future kids, but also for your future kids, Kaz, and all of the other people that are fighting for this. You know, as long as we just keep going and take this seriously, I honestly feel like we're making a better future for all of humanity. So that really pumps me up.
It's a great way to end it. It is just the interconnectedness of Bitcoin that, you know, we may be in different geographic locations. We may be all over the world. But we're still fighting for this, you know, this network that we believe in that will ultimately lead to like a positive change in humanity. And we're by default, by doing that, we're also fighting for all of our Bitcoiners. So
exactly.
It was a great way to say that. All right, Camilla, thank you so much for your time today. Fun conversation. This one was a lot of laughs. So
yeah.
do you want to point anybody to, you know, what you work on, your Twitter, anything?
Yeah, absolutely.
All your podcasts.
Yeah. So you can find me at Camilla Campton on all of my social media channels. Obviously, I feel like I'm married to Twitter now. I kind of broke up with Instagram and I'm married to Twitter. So I'm mostly active there. And if you want to listen to a podcast I do with Javier Bastardo, which he's a Venezuelan Bitcoiner, we do the podcast in Spanish. You can just go to youtube.com/swansignal and you'll find it there. It's called Bitcoin en Español. And yeah, that's been a lot of fun. We've done 15 episodes so far, kind of just talking to people from all over Latin America. And it makes me really hopeful to see that people are not leaving their native countries in search of this American dream and that they're actually doing a lot of impact in their own communities. So yeah, go and check it out. It's a lot of fun. If you speak Spanish, or if you don't, you can practice Spanish. It's all good.
I might use that to start practicing my Spanish for El Salvador.
Yes, it's a good way.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Camilla.
Thanks, Kaz.